Good evening. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant. You're listening to Now We're Talking. And with me, as always, is Keith Kennedy. Hey, Keith.
Hey, buddy.
Now, this is an interesting. Last week, we kind of tried something a little bit different, and we were dabbling in a little bit of sports talk. I couldn't contain myself. You know, I was saying to you off-air before, I feel like the top two forms of talk on the radio are probably talking politics and talking sports, things we generally don't do. But last week, I had to get into it because the Blue Jays have had such an exciting run. Last week, I was talking about how they're running towards the postseason. Now, tonight, we find ourselves in an interesting situation because while we're in here doing the show, we're talking about, I want to talk about two things that are going on simultaneously. Right now, the Blue Jays are playing, hopefully to win, to beat the Texas Rangers, and to move on to the next round, which would be very exciting for all Blue Jays fans. Also, there's this second debate happening between Trump and Clinton in the aftermath of this scenario, which played out on Friday. So, I feel like the theme for tonight's show, you know, pursuing the idea that, I don't know whether it's just for tonight, it's a talk radio show, we're going to talk about sports and politics, is what is it like this evening, at this moment, as we're broadcasting the show, to be a fan of the Texas Rangers and of Trump?
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting night, you know, and
what it is to be a Texan.
I mean, I'm hoping that we're on the verge of winning game three and moving on and moving past Texas, and I hope that Trump is on the verge of finally doing himself in. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. But this is, these are the things that are on my mind. But Keith, take it away, because I'm going to get the game happening live. So take it away and talk for a bit. Go ahead. What do you think about that?
I'm just going to do that for 5 minutes.
That'd be great.
You can harmonize with me out there in the radio land if you'd like.
No, they can't. Oh, yes, they can.
Oh, can't they? I guess not everyone can harmonize. I don't want to give the impression, I suppose, that we assume that all Texans are Trump fans, or that they're
I'm sure many of them are not, but I'm sure that some of them are, and I find it funny that if you're
both, you're about to have the worst day.
I mean, for me, we're doing the show, and I'm thinking these are the two things that are on my mind, and I'm sort of preoccupied with, and that's one of the reasons why I'm not going to monitor the debate while it's happening, but I am going to monitor the Blue Jays game if I can get it back.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought it's interesting. Both of these things are on my mind. We're hosting a show. We typically don't talk about sports or politics. And these are the things that I'm not really interested in talking about anything else tonight, because these are the things that are significant for me right now.
Well, and for once, the things that are significant to us also are significant to the world. Maybe not exactly the baseball playoffs, but America does love baseball quite a bit. But the Trump thing, I don't know how we're supposed to describe it. Does everyone out there know what we're talking about what Trump said, what he did?
Well, we could spend a lot of time doing what a lot of people are doing and trying to explain it. I don't think we should get into all the details, but suffice it to say, you can look it up and figure it out for yourself. But something has happened on Friday in terms of something he said that was recorded and is now, you know, reveals something about his character, which I think most people already know.
Yep.
But there's incontrovertible proof, which makes it difficult for people to pretend like it's not there. But what's interesting is, for me, what's interesting is that he's been enabled and propped up by members of the Republican Party who are kind of trying to find a way to get in on the Trump train, but with one leg in, one leg out, to have the best of both worlds. But it's becoming very difficult for them to support him and not support him at the same time. And what's interesting, what tonight is, this news just came out on Friday. And maybe that was no accident, of course. And now is the big debate. He doesn't have an opportunity, I don't think, this evening to pretend like that didn't happen. So the big question is, what can he do about it?
Yeah. Also, what will Hillary do about it? Because I like the idea that she just is sort of letting him shoot himself in the foot over and over again.
Seems like a good strategy.
And yeah, she just needs to stay out of it. But I'm a little bit afraid that they'll strategize. Her people will strategize that she goes on the attack on that front. And again, it's like the people who are going to vote for Trump, it doesn't matter what he says. Nothing he says is going to change their love of him. But if she gets a little too aggressive, or he managed to pull out a zinger or something, then we might lose some of those middle voters to the Trump side, which is insane. After what he said and what he's done for the last few months, it's insane to think that it still could turn on a dime like that.
That's what I say to that.
Yeehaw! Okay.
Yeah, by no means do I want to. I don't think that everybody in Texas, I wouldn't want to stereotype them as all being that sort of whatever, Trump supporters, conservative, Christian conservatives. I think there's probably a big state and many people aren't, but I'm really curious to know specifically who falls in that category of odor, Texas Ranger, loving Trump, loving. I was watching game one of the American League Division Series the other day, and there was, if you don't know, there was, after having lost the same series last year to the Toronto Blue Jays on account of Jose Bautista hitting a home run, there was a lot of animosity towards him. So there, in an earlier regular season game this year, one of the members of the Texas Rangers just punched him in the face. Now, in hockey, people punch each other, and it turns, you know, that's a thing. You don't see that a lot in other sports. It's considered uncouth, unsportsmanlike, pretty much.
There's not a lot of couth in baseball, but...
But what was it? People have so much animosity towards the Jays and Bautista for what he did to them, that people were holding up signs at the games with pictures, like photographs of Odor punching Bautista in the face, like as a sort of representation of, you know, we will kick your ass just like we're going to kick your ass in this series. So
yeah.
I think the Blue Jays have sort of took the higher road and just focused on playing and have been beating them readily. But, yeah, I'm just thinking about what it's like tonight to be... You know, I, again, as I'm saying this, I'm actually kind of paranoid and about getting ahead of myself. I'm not saying that the Blue Jays are definitely going to beat them, and Trump definitely won't be the president. I guess for me, it'd be interesting if I had to choose between one or the other.
Which is a better scenario?
Which would matter? Which would be better if he was not the president, or if the Blue Jays did win the World Series? Now, I think the right thing obviously is for him not to be the president. But man, it would be good for the Blue Jays to win the World Series. So that's a tough one.
It's not as tough for me. Blue Jays all the way.
Yeah.
No, I think that I've actually come around the horn pretty far on this. When people were first afraid of Trump, I was one of the first guys out there saying, this will never happen. And then when it looked like it could happen, I was one of the first guys to say, it's not that big a deal. And then when people said, no, it could be a really big deal, I said, well, even if he gets in, like, what's he really going to do? They'll just shut him down like the Republican shut down Obama. But now, the closer we get, the more I'm like, oh, God, what's he going to do to the planet? Now I think maybe it is more important that he doesn't get in.
You know, it's a double-edged sword, because if he doesn't become the president, some good things, I think you could argue, have come out of this. And one of them would be an education. It's really easy for people to look back at World War II if they've ever bothered to do that. I mean, it's a long time ago now. And I think generationally, a lot of people probably have no sense whatsoever of what happens in history. But it wasn't that long ago, and it had a huge impact on our world. And people don't realize how fragile society is. And I think that if they can think about having that experience of saying, he will never do this, he will never do that, and then they see it happening, which is violating their worldview of how things play out, they can have hopefully some understanding of what happened in Germany. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that Trump is Hitler and he would do those things, but it shows you the process by which civility breaks down, reason breaks down, and where that path leads if taken too far. So, I mean, I don't necessarily outright feel like if he became president, he would become a fascistic dictator.
No.
But I feel like he's trailblazing the path for somebody else to do it.
Yeah, I think that's really poignant. I don't think he's bright enough to become an anything.
Yeah.
Right?
I like that you said that was poignant. I just wanted to have that reaction to you saying that.
Yeah, I think that what you're saying is kind of scarier. The idea that somehow this base in the States, these people who are following him blindly without factual evidence and without context and without an understanding of history, that they would be empowered by his victory. And therefore, whatever he does in 4 years, they will arise a second time to push someone else who's maybe a little more savvy into that position.
Yeah.
And then maybe someone could do some real damage in terms of, who knows, maybe not actual damage, but in terms, like, you know, actual pressing the nuclear button damage, but in terms of things like deportation and women's rights and these things that Trump just seems to not give a shit about.
You know, it's funny, I'm drawing the parallels tonight, as I've mentioned already, between sports and politics, the Blue Jays and the competition with the Blue Jays and the Rangers, and the competition with the Democrats and the Republicans. And, you know, I've told you before, as I go through this process, you know, I've been a casual sports fan for a long time. I haven't invested. And as we talked about last week, one of the reasons I can see that it's a good thing, probably, that I'm a casual sports fan typically, is that I get very excited when good things happen, but I also get really upset when bad things happen. And I've recognized that might be a flaw for me, and that could be counterproductive for me personally. So it's funny, what I find myself doing as the Blue Jays go through this process, and honestly, if they didn't get any further, they've had a great season and they've done a really good job to get this far. That's the rational perspective. But I'm so wanting them to keep moving that I'm finding myself, you know, not trying, like, you were watching this game today and they're off to a great start, and I'm trying not to assume as a foregone conclusion that they will win this game, that they will win this series, that they will advance, etc. Because I'm worried about the devastation if I believe that and they don't, or even worse, if I jinx it. And the parallel here for me with that to the Trump thing is people have always said, he'll never be president, da, da, da. The whole time I've been watching this, I've been kind of sitting back thinking that's almost certainly true, but I am not going to take any pleasure or comfort in the assumption that this is not a problem until it's no longer a problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he doesn't become the president, I think that continues for me. The threat of him continuing to mobilize irrational thought. B, I'm watching little Donald Trump Jr. talking to the media. I'm thinking, oh no, what if he becomes a demagogue in like 10 years? Or like I say, C, even if it's not a Trump, you know, it's not any of the names, you know, if you didn't like the Bushes, you don't like the Trumps, whatever, somebody else comes along. I think for me, I don't know a lot about this, but my sense of it is that there is a dwindling racist, an aging, dwindling racist, xenophobic population that still, we're seeing how much power they have in this election. And if they don't elect the president, if they're somewhat marginalized in electing, you know, representatives for government in the states in this election, hopefully it represents sort of a lessening. And they continue to be sort of increasing our silence. But that would be my optimistic worldview. Now, that's the best case scenario in my mind, that their influence is diminished. But then I worry about A, civil war, B, domestic terrorism, or C, that exacerbating some of the sort of like fascistic tendencies. So that's the best case scenario in my mind, and it's still a threat. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I'd like to think that if he gets beaten, that it will quiet the masses.
Why do you think? I'd like to think that too, but why do you think that would be so?
Don't
you think that they'll be? See, when I look at the Texas Ranger fans and I see how angry they are, and they're holding up signs saying "We punched your guy in the face," so there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, why would these people become less upset?
Well,
wouldn't they become
maybe
more
this
upset?
Is a different thing. Maybe it's not the mass that you've described. Maybe it's not the blatant sort of low-educated racist masses that we sort of imagining, because there is a section of Trump voters, and some polls say that's a lot of them are this, are middle-income white families who don't have a bad life at all.
Well, they can be racist too, though.
This is what I'm going to, yeah, that's what I'm getting to, is they don't have a bad life at all, but then when they see one of their own complaining about how bad things are, they go, yeah, you know what? I do want change. I do want less taxes. I do want more time at the cottage. It's people, and I think that they've been riled up by Trump in a different way, and maybe if Trump loses, then they'll calm down. Like, they'll come back to a simmer. Because I don't think those people want to put their money into it or their time into it. They just want to jump on the bandwagon and say, yeah, maybe we should build a wall. Maybe I am annoyed by race more than I will let on, and this guy's given me an avenue to feel comfortable saying that. Maybe when he goes, you know, gets knocked down a peg, they'll chill out.
I think you're right that there's different segments of the population that are intend to vote for him.
Yeah.
But I would argue that, I mean, this is a bold statement, but I would argue, based on the things that he said and how he's conducted himself, you know, I just think about Germany, and I think about the horrors and the evils of the Holocaust, and people saying, like, what were you thinking? Didn't you smell that from a few miles away? And they're like, oh, well, I guess we, you know. To me, the threat isn't just the people who behave explicitly in these ways. It's the people who implicitly tolerate it. And I feel like you could make an argument that if you vote for him, regardless of what your excuse is, you know, I'm just a hardcore GOP. I'm not a big fan of him, but, you know, it's kind of what we're stuck with.
Yeah.
That doesn't really reassure me very much, because it actually frightens me to think that you're telling me you see the flaws in his character or in his behavior, and yet you're tolerating it, you know, as sort of like to get something else that you want. Like, to me, that behavior is dangerous. And I think that if you tolerate racism, I think you could argue that makes you racist in a way. I don't know.
Yeah, well...
Now, this really is political talk now. Now, what a different tone in the show.
Well, I think the issue is that anytime you overlook the greater good for personal gain, there's a possibility that you're making a big mistake. And if it's something as trivial as, I've always voted this way, or I'm on team red.
Yeah.
Which
is a big thing.
Yeah.
Probably in all countries, to be fair. I don't want to, like, blame the U.S.
No.
But the U.S., that polarity between
it's become very big.
And it's getting more
intense. And the loyalty
they
have to that color and that team is so inbred, is the word I want to use, but I don't mean it that way.
Well, it's in some cases.
But it's bred into them, generation after generation, that this is the side they should be on. And so when you go, yeah, but this time, it's going to be horrible for lots and lots of people. It's like they still can't let it go. Even when you see some of these big name Republicans, you can see the disgust.
Yeah.
You know that they don't want to follow this guy.
Yeah.
That no matter what team they're on, they're probably decent people, and they have just slightly different political opinions on the other side, and they actually want America to do better. But instead of standing up against them, they go, well, but my team and my ambition.
Never Hillary Clinton, right?
Yeah, and this idea that we were talking about before off air, that they have their own ambitions. Of course, a person in that position, a person in politics who's been fighting for power and status, when they have a choice to say, do I want to support this guy so that my team keeps winning and my ambition stays on track?
Yeah.
Or do I want to hurt my own ambition to stand up for the right thing? A lot of people, more than we want to admit, are going to stick with their own ambition, stick with their own team, and they're going to let that happen. And if you let something happen, that's your parallel, right?
Well, that's the interesting thing about this whole quote-unquote Trump phenomenon, is that it's easy to make the argument this is the worst thing ever, but it's also easy to make the argument it's the best thing ever, because I realize I've been thinking about this for a year, but especially in the last week or so, I realize this whole situation with him has always revealed more about people other than him. Like, how he conducts himself, his behavior, his character. If you've ever seen him in the last 20 or 30 years, and interviews and his TV shows, like, none of this should be a surprise. He's pretty,
he's been pretty.
You could say, to his credit, he kind of wears his heart on his sleeve. So a lot of the behaviors that you see, I feel like we're already plain to see. So none of the way he's conducted himself last year isn't the revelation. The revelation is how other people respond to it.
Yeah.
It's revealed this huge percentage of the population who are flagrantly racist, as well as a large population who will just vote GOP at any cost. And it's the case, and some people might not understand, it wasn't the case that, you know, he got the opportunity to be the nominee and everybody loved it. People in the Republican Party were probably more upset about him and worried about him than anybody else.
Because at the beginning, all of the Democrats thought, oh, that's funny. If he gets in, we'll beat the crap out of him.
Exactly.
Yeah, but they were terrified.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was actually the first people to be worried about him were Republicans.
Yeah.
But
we've watched, like you said, the last year, I've watched, you know, Republican senator / governor / lobbyist one after another swallow their disgust.
And that's what's interesting, again, without getting into all the details, because you can Google it yourself, in terms of what happened on Friday with this tape or whatever, is that a lot of these guys who, like, for example, the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, who was the vice presidential nominee in 2012.
Who's almost the poster boy of not wanting to support this guy.
He's basically the implicit leader of the Republican Party in terms of it being, what's the compass of morality.
And he's a true conservative as well.
Because he's the top elected Republican in the country. That's why he's in that conversation. Yeah. Well, he's kind of danced around it. He's been really tried to dance around it, like I was saying earlier. And now he's put in this position where it's so difficult for him to politically come out and be tolerant of it. He released a statement where I was saying to you earlier before the show, he didn't just say this is unacceptable. He literally described it as sickening, which is like not just saying I don't accept this, but I have had like this physical reaction. That is like a strong,
that's a specific word,
unprecedented condemnation of your party's nominee. And so for him, but in spite of the fact that he said it's sickening and then he canceled some events with Trump and he's giving all the signals that he doesn't support him, he hasn't outright said it, I will not vote for him. Do not vote for him. And that's what's happening right now. That's why this debate tonight is so, it's not just that it's the second presidential debate. It's happening in the aftermath of this. And his, and even Trump's vice presidential
Pence,
his dude, his ticket, his dude on the ticket.
Yeah.
Even he released a statement where he said he can't
endorse it. Yeah.
Well, he didn't.
He's super conservative.
That's the thing about that guy. What a hypocrite is that? This guy is like made gay people suffer, and he's a governor of Indiana. Apparently, he's made people suffer there by trying to create all sorts of obstacles for them. He's a God-fearing Christian, and he believes in this, that, and the other. And now he's put in this position where he's shocked and indignant, and he can't.
Yeah, because he's morally
righteous.
And even
under these circumstances, if he's such a righteous person, why would he remain on the ticket? Mm-hmm. Why would he continue to suggest implicitly, well, you should still vote for him, he's better than Hillary? Mm-hmm. But the thing is that why did he do it in the first place? There's no way you can tell me when he signed up to be on Team Trump, he had no inkling that something like this could have happened.
No, of course. Well, that's why he's not doing anything, because he is very aware of what he's gotten himself into.
What a dick.
Yeah. And he also, I think there's no doubt in my mind that someone like Mike Pence takes that job because he thinks that he then will get a lot of say. Because Trump obviously isn't going to run the country in any foreseeable
He's the poster, to me, he's the poster boy of just sort of trying to play it right down the middle and appear like the righteous Christian so that he can pursue his own personal ambition.
Yeah.
And he's completely spineless and a total hypocrite. And it's just, I've seen some people say, hey, maybe get Trump off the ticket and it could be Pence. You know, he's got a much, much more reliable conservative. It's like, the fact that you would be tolerant of somebody and who has enabled him, it's really embarrassing. Like, it's embarrassing to see some of the things that Trump has done and then to see him be put in the position where he, you know, either has to defend it or he pivots and avoids responding to it. It's pathetic, man. It's really sad.
Well, it's tough because there's a... I don't know how much bias is in what I'm about to say, but there's a sickness in the right-wing politics of that country. The people who they try to put in positions of power to govern, the people that they depend on for statesmanship, are a bunch of friggin' wackadoos. It's a clown show when they have their primaries. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Right? You look at that, and there was 13 or 15 people on that first bloody thing, and you're thinking, well, at least Rand Paul is there. Right?
You think then you're like, oh, but he's not Ron Paul at all.
No.
God, that guy was such, in terms of the character, that in terms of speaking of character, the reason that people loved Ron Paul was because he stuck out like a beautiful sore thumb. I mean, and they all laughed at him. All of these people.
And he was like a real truth teller.
Exactly.
Right?
All of his colleagues laughed at him and belittled him like he was a fool.
Yeah.
And it revealed how pathetic and foolish they were that he's speaking in a reasonable manner.
Yeah.
And there's a huge portion of the country that's relieved that that's a possibility that somebody could do that. And they're all kind of looking at him like he's a clown.
I don't understand how you look at all those people. What are the criteria? That's what I think of about the American mindset in politics right now. And like, again, how this team thing has just destroyed everyone's rational thought. This taking aside crap is this idea that you look at that panel of people and you don't identify who are the intelligent people, who are the capable people. It's ridiculous. They got rid of Jeb Bush, who's arguably capable at least of running something, because Trump
has the track record.
Because Trump said he's got low energy.
Yeah.
That's basically it. Trump just attacked him until he was gone. How the hell does that happen? How do you not go, oh, that bully, that idiot, that insulter. Is that even a word? That guy who's insulting
everyone. Well, that's what
he would say. Yeah, exactly. I'm just doing Trump. how does that guy remain when Bush is gone and Rand Paul has 2%? Those are your actual right-wing conservative thinkers. And I do mean thinkers. They have opinions and policies, and they've studied Right?
But they weren't on The Apprentice. You know,
but they weren't on The Apprentice.
They don't have a show.
And they don't have their name on the side of a building.
Yeah. You know, it's if you watch, I mean, you can play this game with any election and with any, you know, people who are voting for a candidate you don't like or a party you don't like. But when I see footage of people saying things like, you know, Donald Trump, you know, he's a successful businessman. You know, you don't get there by accident. I mean, he's a genius. Mm-hmm. He's smart. I'm looking at this and you're just like, wow, this is what stupidity looks like. This is, it's shocking. And every, you know, as I say that and whenever I think those thoughts, there is a part of me that's like, well, hold on. Like, what's your bias? And I'm trying to be somewhat conscious of my own bias
it's
here.
It's hard though when you
but
see
I,
something
for
stupid.
For me, in my heart, I feel like, no, I think it's important we be honest. If somebody believes that, they're a moron. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Even and if, I just don't think it's help. I don't think it's helpful to refrain from saying that. I think, you know, it's like, I think that's a struggle for me is it's like, oh, it's not very kind or constructive. I'm like, no, maybe it is constructive to point out that you're a moron.
It's clear that we both hit
a tipping
point.
Do you believe
that? With everything that's happened lately, you and I, among many people, have hit a tipping point where we feel a little bit more talkative about this. I feel a bit more verbose today about this.
We're getting close, right?
I've been trying not to talk about it very much. I don't want to think about it, but it is starting to piss me off a little bit.
Is it?
Because there's so many things wrong. Every scenario that comes up that anyone ever brings up about Trump comes to the same conclusion. Whether he says something offensive or stupid, why do you think he can actually run the country? That's the question I have for those people. He's a good businessman. Let's pretend that's true. Let's pretend that we're biased and there's a lot of evidence.
Yeah, we're wrong.
Let's just say we're wrong.
So what do you think? Why do you think,
voter, that he would then be able to take that skill and run the country?
What
that
do you
does
think?
Not mean economy. That doesn't mean I understand economy.
Well, what do you think their thought process is?
I don't think there's much of one.
I think it's, he was that guy from The Apprentice. Mm-hmm. He sat in that chair and looked very presidential. And this is like probably not even conscious, it's a conscious thought process, right? This is just
sort of, he's got a name, he's an outsider.
It's basically just like, it's kind of like consumerism rearing its ugly head in the area of politics. There's no question that it's like a virus in our culture, in our society. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to laugh at
They've assigned value to him for that.
In the era of like reality shows and people's just mindless consumerism, it's easy to kind of dismiss it like it's not a threat, but it is a threat. And this is an example of how it's a threat, is when somebody has the underlying belief that probably isn't articulated or consciously considered, which is that I saw him in that chair for like 10 years on that TV show, and he was telling people what to do, and he was firing them and probably sexually harassing them as much as possible. And to me, that looks presidential. I mean, he gets things done. I don't know. I think it's that simple, man. I think for a lot of people, that is their belief. I've seen evidence of how good he... I mean, why would he be in helicopters? Why would his name be on all these buildings if he wasn't capable of tremendous things? And what's so offensive is like he's such a... He's like gold lettering in his name and all his sort of gaudy like furnishings... Mm-hmm. You know, it seems tacky.
No, he's the worst example.
But for a lot of people, I think it's like, well, his name's there in gold. But the funny thing, I don't think a lot of these people, of course, they don't understand. I think generally a lot of people don't understand, is that when you see Trump, like here in Vancouver, for F's sake, you see it, now it's here in Vancouver, Trump in big letters outside a building. He doesn't own that building. His business is...
Oh, there's a whole
people
lot
don't understand
of
that his business isn't... building things. His business is brand. Mm-hmm. So he licenses his name for use with those buildings, mm-hmm. because the people who otherwise are invested in that building believe they will make more money by co-opting that brand. So for him, everything he does, including running for president and having that TV show, is a calculation to increase the exposure of his brand. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's, I don't know what his motivations for running for president, but there's no question in his mind, he thought, if I win, if I lose, more people will know who I am. More people will believe that I'm a success.
No, he wins either way. Well, that's what we've been saying from the beginning, is that he wins either way. Even if he drops out, he wins on his terms. So we're never going to hurt Trump. That's never going to happen. But
I, you know, honestly, I have to say, like, we're broadcasting the show from Vancouver, and you know, this is seemingly an American issue that we're talking about. But obviously it has an effect on us peripherally. Mm-hmm. But like I mentioned there a moment ago, the fact that there's that building in Vancouver in huge letters, almost like he's conquered downtown Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you've seen it, but
no,
I don't think that there's a building otherwise in Vancouver with lettering. It's huge.
Tony Stark's building's pretty big.
Well, maybe they're working on that. But I'm telling you, man, it's like a strong statement. Like, Trump is here and he's arrived. And for me, I'm so offended by the fact that that is here in our city and our country. When, again, this is another example, it would be very easy for somebody to argue with me, what does it matter? Who cares? Like, it doesn't matter. Well, I feel like if we tolerate that here in Vancouver in Canada, you're kind of allowing somebody to get their foot in the doorway in terms of creating the perception that it's okay. And it's not okay. I don't think it is. I think F him. You know, I really do. I feel strongly about that, you know?
Well, what I find interesting is this idea that because of his brand and because he's in the spotlight, I guess, that people equate that in some way with the ability to do the job. I hate to keep repeating myself.
Well,
and this is the thing I want people to pay attention to.
That's the reason I'm saying I'm offended by the idea of Trump Tower in Vancouver is because through its presence, this insidious virus, it sort of gives an opening
that people
to the perception that his name is consequential.
Yes. But even so, even if his name is consequential, even if he's a great businessman, he deserves all those buildings and he deserves all of that fame, that is not the same as being good at being president. And this idea that people are going, well, he's different. He's an outsider. He's not a politician. Well, let me tell you something about politicians. We can all talk Plato and say, well, politics is the thing that happens when there's a lack of governance. We can all play that philosophical game. But when you're saying politics in that scenario, what you're actually saying is public service. And you're saying Hillary Clinton shouldn't be the president because she's a politician, a professional politician. Well, what that actually means is 30 years of public service. Now, what has Donald Trump done for the public?
It's pathetic.
He is not a leader of men. He is not qualified for the job. I don't care if it's an orangutan on the other side of the bloody ballot. You don't vote for a guy who's going to walk into that place and be like, oh no, that's not what you need to lead your country, right? Every other president that you can name had done something to indicate, says maybe Ronald Reagan.
He was a governor,
to be fair. To indicate that they would be able to handle the job, or at least that they would be able to learn like a child would. And the only thing Donald Trump does like a child is everything other than learning. All he does is act like a child and whine like a child and retaliate like a child and look like a big fat baby. What he doesn't do is give me any indication that he's going to walk into that office and listen to the smart people around him and make proper decisions.
No, not only does he not give you any evidence he would do that, he's given you lots of evidence he would resist that. He would not believe. He would not see value in it. He would consider it a waste of time.
Yeah, he would just delegate it all.
Yeah, he would tell people.
Which might be the best news we can have, is that he would delegate it all.
He would just tweet out to world leaders and what he's thinking. And you know, it's pretty effed up. Folks, you're listening to Now We're Talking on CITR 101.9 FM. Jeff Bryant here, your host, alongside with Keith Kennedy. If you've listened to the show before, you know we talk about different things. We don't usually talk about sports or politics, but we're getting worked up here, you know?
Yeah.
We're getting worked up into a lather, but why not? You know, it's what we're feeling, so we're talking about. Keith, we were watching the baseball game, the Blue Jays game, which started before our broadcast. Lots of scoring. Slugfest.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays the Rangers scored in the top of the first. They got one run, but then the Blue Jays got two home runs. It's just been a slugfest. When we came into the studio, it was 5-4 for Toronto. The pitcher for Texas had been pulled. Sanchez had given it four runs. We weren't sure. We were coming in here, setting up to do the show. We lost the connection. It was interesting timing right before we started.
We wanted to watch the show.
I guess I could let you see it. I haven't turned
it,
so you can't see it. But it has been back on for the last 10 minutes or so. But I will give you an update just in case you're a Blue Jays fan and you're driving, you're listening to this for whatever reason. It's still 5-4 for the Blue Jays. It's the bottom of it's the top of the sixth with two outs, and Sanchez has been pulled from the game. And we're keeping an eye on things here.
Who's pitching?
Absolutely no idea.
Okay.
Is it for the Blue Jays?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. That's a good question. We'll figure that out when they When they reveal that information, it will be forthcoming, but I cannot tell you who's pitching because they're not showing images of the pitcher at the moment.
Wait, it's Donald Trump.
But we're not necessarily going to give you the play-by-play. We're just letting you know that we're keeping an eye on this game. And really, I think that if the Blue Jays win tonight, I think it's safe to say it's an omen and that Hillary Clinton will be the next president of the United States. So
we called it.
You know, sometimes with these networks, they're kind of cautious about calling. You remember what happened in the 2000 presidential election?
Yes.
And we're going to call it soon. And I think if Texas manages to make something happen here.
Oh,
dear.
Oh, we didn't catch it.
Oh, my God. This game is so intense. Oh, my God.
Now you're listening to us watching a baseball game.
Oh, my God.
It's happened.
Okay, so again, we're not going to give the play-by-play for the rest of the show, but we will let you know what emotions we're feeling right now. The Blue Jays are up 5-4, runners on first and second for the Texas Rangers. A shot hit to left center, very difficult, nearly impossible play. And of all players, Kevin Pillar, incredible player who makes amazing catches. You almost take for granted that he makes these amazing diving catches. And when I was watching that happen, I thought to myself, if he makes this catch, this will pretty much beat them all. It hit his glove, and he missed it. And Texas has scored both runs, so they're unfortunately in the lead. Now, I just said that it's an omen, right? So this is what the thing that's messing
that's
me up is
instant karma.
We're talking about the Rangers maybe in their situation and the presidential election. And I am worried that if the Blue Jays can't pull it together, that this will be... Oh, man, that really bums me out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure just based on watching that play that Trump is going to win the election.
You know, it's funny, when we started doing the show, of course, it's a live...
Take it back, Trump.
It's a live radio show, but it's also a podcast. I'm very conscientious of the fact that things that we do and say live, while they may or may not have value for the live listener, certainly for a podcast listener a few weeks from now, not very interesting for them to sit where they're like, whoa, what's going to happen next in the game? But I'm sorry, it's just tonight is such... When I saw that this game was going to happen during the show, and I saw that this debate was happening during the show, I thought, well, all bets are off. We need to...
address these things.
I can't pretend like this isn't what's on my mind.
Yeah. I'm looking at
I'm just like, I've talked about, like, emotionally, I'm feeling it right now. The Blue Jays, they came out with Sanchez, which is one of their best pitchers, and they came out very strong. They had a lot of difficult time later in the year scoring runs, and they've just been scoring so many runs, and they came out with those two home runs. They've been looking great in this game. It's very sad and concerning for me to see that despite their best efforts...
It's sad. But,
I mean, to be
just you walking by mistake.
To be fair, I've got to give credit to Texas. I mean, they're not rolling over. They were down 5-2 at one point, and now they're just getting some major hits. And that was a major, major play with Pillar, where I don't think he should feel bad about that. It's funny that I've had it here on the screen for 10 minutes, but I just showed it to you, and you managed to watch that play with me. That you'd agree that is by no means, you can't fault him for not making that catch.
I do not have to see it again. His standard is so high.
That's what I mean. You can't fault him. I mean, I don't think there's anything routine about that fly ball.
Not at all.
I think that's a fly ball that a lot of players in baseball, there wouldn't even be a shot.
Yeah. It's just because we expect so much of him that you want to think he'd catch that.
That's pretty, wow. Now you're starting to see. I talked before about how the emotions, how I get really excited when good things happen. Mm-hmm. Right now, the fear is creeping. I'm thinking, please don't let that be the turning point of this series where it's like, if he had made the catch, they would have swept. He didn't make the catch.
Nah.
They lost in five.
Like you said, it'd be different if it was a mistake, but it's not a mistake.
This is the part where the listener of the podcast, if they're not too annoyed and they're still listening 3 weeks from now, they're like, he was so right or he was so wrong. Oy vey. Okay, so that's on a break. Sorry if we're bothering you, Thad, if we're bugging you, but what can I say? This is what matters to us. This is what we're talking about. It's 6:38 right now, listening to CITR. Keith, where do we go from here? Do you want to continue to extrapolate on this conversation about Donald Trump and the Hitlerian threat that he poses to the universe?
I haven't wanted to talk about Trump at all on the radio.
Well, I'll say that about the show. When we've talked about, there's been a couple times, we've been doing the show since June. This has certainly been a thing in the media, in our world since June. But when we brought it up, we've both kind of said, well, we don't really want to get into it. Much like right now, I don't want to get into exactly what happened on Friday, because that's just being teared apart by everybody. They can figure it out on their own. But why is it different now? Well, we're getting closer to the election. Mm-hmm. And this thing that happened on Friday, which would be actually pretty interesting if somebody's like like just captivated by our broadcast right now, and they're like, "What's the thing that happened on Friday?" Well,
you should tell them the number and see if anybody wants to call in and talk about these things.
Sure, yeah, give us a call at 604 604 UBC CITR, which is 604-822-2487. Give us a call, and you can talk about the Jays, you can talk about Trump. It's 604-822-2487. We'll talk about it on the air. It'd be good to have you.
Yeah, because this is the kind of topic that, you know, as opposed to our comedy or our musings, I think there's people out there who might actually have an opinion.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They might want to give out. So.
What would be interesting is that for somebody to be listening right now in the first place and then, okay, that's the number, and to give us a call would mean that they're not watching the game or the debate.
That's true.
They have very strong opinions, but for some reason, maybe their internet's gone to hell, but they still have, that's the thing, you know, people feel like radio, maybe some people think radio's dead.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, you know, in the event of a natural disaster, if you got one of those wind-up radios, you're going to be listening
to us. You
know
what I say to people who say that radio's dead? I say you're dead.
And then you don't kill them.
No,
that's
wrong. But I do shake my fist.
Yeah.
Because that's a borderline assault sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of borderline.
And now it's been recorded.
Even the song by Madonna.
Keith, I'm going to keep this game visible for you so you can at least keep an eye on it in case there's anything big. Oh, my God, what a game. What a game. It's hard for me not to comment on it. We were watching it before the broadcast started, as I said, and it was the Blue Jays had such a difficult time putting runs on the board throughout the year, really, but in the latter part of the year, and they've been so offensively capable and coming, and they knocked out those big two starters on the Texas rotation in the first two games, and going into this game, if you're a Texas fan, you don't want to see Toronto hitting two home runs in the first, was it the first inning? In the first inning.
Yeah.
They're up 3-1. And here we are, 6-5 for Texas in the bottom of the sixth, and I'm feeling nervous. I'm feeling nervous, I'll admit.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you remember when the Blue Jays won the World Series?
I do. That's something we can segue to. I do remember that. I've alluded a couple times to the fact that I've had this 22-year hiatus between 93 and 2015. But I do remember that, and I it was a similar experience as a child. I was very invested.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember it?
Yeah, I was very invested as well.
Where were you? Well, let's start with 1992 when they won their first World Series.
Yeah, I was in Newfoundland.
Mm-hmm. And you watched the game with your family?
No, I used to watch them by myself. I've always been the kind of person who likes watching sports by myself.
Right.
Because I get rather intellectually invested.
Yeah. So what do you remember about that postseason run that they had in 1992?
I get them mixed up, to be honest, the 2 years.
92 and 93?
Yeah, I get like the Winfield and Molitor, because I know that like there was, one of them was the DH.
Well, that's
one
the right year. Order. That's the right order.
Right, and then I think Tony Fernandez was there for the second one, but not the first one.
Other
Is that
way
correct?
Around.
It was so the other way around?
The first year was Fernandez was still there. Winfield was the DH, the veteran DH they brought in. And Jack Morris was the ace that they brought in that year. That's 92. 93 was when they brought in... who did you just mention?
Paul Molitor.
Paul Molitor. Yeah. That was their big DH threat. Hall of Famer Paul Molitor.
Yeah. And so Fernandez wasn't there for the second?
He was gone. You know what? Actually, you know, now that I think about it, now we're confusing. Now we're confusing with 1991 because in 1992, Fernandez was gone and so was Fred McGriff. He was exchanged with the San Diego Padres for Roberto Alomar and Joe Carter. So
I'm getting confused. Tony Fernandez is my favorite baseball player of all time, so that's why I'm getting a little bit confused. A lot of my youth was spent watching and appreciating him in particular, and so I get a little bit muddy about where he was, and that's also my signpost.
He had quick hands.
I was just so smooth. Like you were saying today about Tulowitzki, it's the same thing. When you have a guy at shortstop who looks that calm, then it's very calming to watch. You don't worry when the ball gets in the infield.
Yes, he was definitely very Tulo-esque.
Yeah.
Or you could say Tulo is Fernandez-esque.
Yes, the sidearm, casual, accurate delivery.
It's funny, though, because, I mean, for me, my fandom goes back to circa 88, 89. They won the AL East in 89. They won it in 91.
Like George Bell?
George Bell. So they had different opportunities. They were, back in the day, too, of course, only four teams made it to the playoffs. So if you won your division, you're one of the top four teams in baseball. So they were great teams.
Yeah.
But I remember that. I remember when they made that trade, and it felt like, okay, we're losing Fernandez and McGriff. That was a loss. Who are these Alomar Carter guys? Turning point. That was when they went from a team who was able to make it to the postseason to a team that was able to basically dominate.
Yeah, I know I'm getting confused because they brought Tony Fernandez back later.
Yeah, he might have been back in 93, or maybe it was later.
He came back and like played out the rest of his career.
All I know, no disrespect to him, was that he was he was never as relevant as he was before.
No, that's correct.
Yeah, he was one of the guys back when they were a competitive team that made it to the postseason, but always lost in the ALCS.
That's correct.
Yes, but those were the days.
I remember. I mean, those games were amazing, obviously. Everyone remembers the home runs. And
well, you know what's funny is that kind of by chance, Joe Carter was I realized Joe Carter was involved in the final play of three out of the four games in terms of the ALCS and the World Series. So he obviously hit the home run. Everybody knows about that. He was a right fielder. He uncharacteristically, because they're shuffling people around late in the game, ended up catching the toss to first base.
He ended up having to be on first.
He was the final play for...
Because Olerud had come out, I guess it was?
Probably. Yeah. And Otis Nixon hit that bunt. And so he was the final play for both. Yeah. That was the first thought that went through my head when he hit the home run. I thought, wow, gets that final...
Yeah, he gets that moment. Him jumping up and down.
You know that, 20, 50, 100 years later, they're not going to show footage of a bunch of plays that happened in that World Series. They're going to show that play.
Yeah. It'll be Carter jumping up and down with his hands in the air.
Yes.
For both World Series.
With a big smile on his face. Yeah. But in addition to that, he also caught the final... fly ball to right field in the 1993 ALCS in Chicago, which I'd forgotten about. And I thought, well, look at this guy.
Yeah. Well, he was a big
Joe Carter was a great guy. I guess one thing we can talk about, because again, you're a big sports guy, big fan of sports, plus you've played sports, plus you have a personality, and people having a personality is something that I think matters to you. What's your position, your opinion about oftentimes a massive lack of personality amongst athletes? Now, obviously, you've got the big characters that are larger than life, and I feel like that's more of a thing in maybe basketball and football, but I'm telling you, man, for the majority of the time when you see these guys interviewed, I don't know whether they're under duress. In a way they are. It's like an obligation for them to do these post-game interviews, but it means so much to me when they do have a personality. We're getting a little bit distracted here because we've seen a nice moment here in the game. We've got runners on second and third.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's interesting.
It means so much to me when people do have a personality.
Yeah, me too, and it's too bad. I often think of hockey as an example of what you're saying, where in hockey, it's almost like there's a class. I know there isn't, but it's almost like all the kids go to a class to teach them how to say cliches in their interviews.
Yeah.
Very few people in hockey in particular ever say anything outside of the box. And when they do...
Even like those cliches, right? They're just rife with those cliches.
Outside of the box, and when they do, they have to be so crazy. You have to be like Jeremy Roenick is a good example, where you have to say a bunch of nonsense to get any attention. And so there's very few people in hockey that I've ever said, I'm a fan of this person because of their personality. It's often more like their game on the ice and they seem like nice people, or they seem calm, or they seem like they care about things. It's almost like you're picking up subtle personality traits. So it's always been frustrating for me in hockey to find that fandom, whereas in other sports, there's a little bit more personality that you see. And I'm the same way. If I actually attach some significance to that person, I think I might like them in real life, and I'm going to be a bigger fan. Yeah. I wish sports let that happen more often. I wish you let people's personality come out more. Anytime people cut down on celebrations, or so even the whole thing with the Blue Jays with the bat flip thing from last year, it doesn't matter. Things aren't disrespect just because they're not traditional. Someone getting too excited is not bad. If someone got too excited at a birthday party, you'd think they were awesome. And they get too excited because they achieve something like a home run in a big moment and they do something a little more excessive. I heard some... I can't remember who it was, not Goose Gossage, that's not right. But I heard on a sports talk show, a retired baseball player absolutely feeding it to Batista for being too celebratory in that moment last year. Just acting like that was the worst thing you could ever do. We all have to respect each other in baseball so much.
I think if you're on the winning team, it's the most glorious thing he could have done. Mm-hmm. If you're on the losing team, it's painful.
Well, again, I can say for myself that I've never, ever seen someone even gloat, like blatantly gloat. I've never seen someone do that against my team and think like, that guy's a horrible person that shouldn't be in the game. It's again, I assign it to the individual. Maybe that person's a jerk and maybe he shouldn't do that for the reasons he's doing it, but it's just one guy acting out, right? And the more people are allowed to act out, then the more we're going to see the positive as well. And the more you're going to be able to say, I would love to be able to say my favorite hockey player is a guy who I like because he likes these things and he says these things and he has actual traits I'm going to assign to him. My favorite hockey player of all time is Steve Yzerman. And it's 100% based on who he is on the ice, what he does when he's on the ice. And when he talks in person, he's a little bit slow and awkward and There's nothing there. There's nothing that I could see. Now, in a room, he might be the greatest guy ever, but there's nothing. Did I just get a power up?
No, as you're talking, I'm trying to find a sound effect because I want to role play the sound of one of these cliché-ic interviews, but I'm hearing what you're saying, please. Yeah.
But the fact that Steve Yzerman could be my favorite player, but I'm desperately wanting to love a person for their personality, and he has a subdued personality by definition, shows that there's very little of that out there.
Do you think it's the case that if you are an athlete, you know, you're so focused on the intensity of the game and all that, that it's too much to ask when you communicate to also have a person, like, maybe I'm wanting too much, but I see these guys interviewed, they don't even make eye contact with the reporter. And I look at that and I'm like, in another context, if somebody was talking to you or interviewing you, and you just, while they asked you questions, while you spoke, you stared off to the in the distance, expressionless.
It's like they've gone to their happy place.
And exactly. Well, not even a happy place, because their countenance is not a happy one.
Yeah.
And then literally up to the point that when they say, okay, thanks, and they never, I'm like, if this dude's autistic or something, if there's a reason for it, okay, fair enough. But if you don't suffer autism, what is with the lack of eye contact?
The lack of
involvement. I don't
know,
man. I guess I just don't understand, like, if you're paid... If you're making millions of dollars, I understand the sport's intense, you know. Like, I'm not taking away with the work that they put in.
Of course not, no.
Why is it too much to ask? So for me, the reason I'm mindful of this is when somebody does, and I got on this because I'm thinking about Joe Carter, people are so excited because their expectation is so low.
Yeah.
So with Joe Carter, if he's interviewed, like, he would make eye contact with the people he was talking to.
Yeah, he was personable.
He would smile. He would make little jokes or really listen to what they're saying or offer some opinions. And I'm asking Keith, why is that so rare? Why is it rare? That's what I want to know.
Well, I think first of all, it's because there are a very high percentage of athletes who make it because of their particular demeanor. One of the things I've often said as an athlete myself was that I didn't have the mindset to make it. And what I mean by that is there's other things that are important to me. There always were. And I think there's a singular mindset to a lot of people who achieve high levels of sport. And because of that, they don't experience life the same way. I mean, if you're 16 years old and all you care about is hockey, and then you're 18 years old and all you care about hockey, and then you're 21, you're in the NHL, at what point did you develop a personality? At what point did you live life and find other things? And even maybe, not to insult all athletes, there also might be a slight lack of intelligence in terms of pursuing some of those higher learnings, because you are focused so much on what's ahead of you every single day, training at this, eating this way. Like, your life becomes regimented, and it's possible that it frees us out some of the growth that comes along with not having such a regimented lifestyle, such a focused lifestyle. So that sounds horrible. I love hockey. I love hockey players, and I'm a hockey player myself to some degree, and I don't think that all sports people are dummies. But I really do think that they're so focused on the one thing that when they're asked a question like that, they do the same thing. Instead of saying, oh, what do I actually think? And exploring their personality, they just say what the person before them said, what they were taught to say, what everybody else does to be successful on this path.
It looks like they're under duress oftentimes. Keith, I want to update you and just acknowledge the fact that bases are loaded with two outs and Carrera is at bat. This is stressing me out, man. Anything can happen in this game. There's been a wild pitch. And we've just tied the game.
Man,
on a wild pitch, and I'm loving it. And the fans are going nuts. Now, Keith, we don't have a lot of time, but I want to continue this thread. I want to give you an example of somebody you might not know. Do you know who Joe Biagini is? He's a relief pitcher.
Never heard it.
He pitches for the Blue Jays. He's been pitching in this game. And he, for me, is an example of somebody who, when I see him interviewed, I'm like, look at this guy with the personality and the sense of humor. What's going on here? So I found a clip of him talking to a reporter, and he's asked about what career path he might have pursued had he not pursued baseball. He's just a young guy. He's a rookie. And he talks about how he's inspired by Bob Ross's The Joy of Painting. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I love that stuff. It just got on Netflix a couple of months ago.
Oh my God, with two runners on, an amazing catch in right field to end the sixth inning. This is just unbelievable. Let me see if I can find this clip here, Keith.
Yeah, Bob Ross is good.
That almost, you know, that situation kind of...
You have to skip around a bit to find it.
Kind of said, okay.
Folks, let's be honest. This is college radio. We don't set up our cues.
You started in college, you weren't a very good baseball
player.
Here
we go.
So let me ask you this.
Joe Biagini.
If you hadn't made it in baseball, what would you have done with your life?
I probably would have... maybe been a Bob Ross painting disciple. Do you know him?
Not too familiar, but maybe you can let me know.
He's a wonderful painter. He was on PBS. I don't
taking
know
the piss,
the,
eh?
That's in America.
Not actually being serious.
He probably was in syndication in Canada as well, but he was a really soft-spoken painter who
this guy's killing it.
30-minute episodes, and he would paint happy trees and little birds, and nothing was ever a mistake. It was a opportunity to make something different. And he would just speak softly, talk about Van Dyke brown and mixing it with other colors. And I remember watching some of those episodes and just thinking, I just feel like I'm so relaxed, so calm. I don't know, maybe that would be a good pregame routine.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking that maybe, you know, I'd like to model my career after The Joy of Painting is the name of the show.
So, I mean, I think that there's some sincerity to what he's saying, but I'm watching this, I'm thinking, why do, when other athletes are asked, so, you know, this, like, they'll speak in those cliches, why don't more people talk about their love for Bob Ross and the Joy of Painting? Now, it could be the case that they're not as sophisticated and don't have the same palate, so to speak. But I mean, I hear what you're saying about some cliches about athletes and the focus and the determination of that career path. But I bet you most of them are living lives that involve things other than the sport that they play. I want to see more. For me, when I see this, and then I see Joe Biagini playing, I'm so much more invested
in him
playing the game because I'm like, it's the Joy of Painting,
I want
dude.
To believe that too. Like, I want to believe that all of these people are just, they're so afraid of social media, they're going to say something stupid, so they, you know, they just be really careful, and then they go off and they're actually full, complete, awesome people. I don't want to think they're just a bunch of dullards who want to smash and score goals and that's all they care about. Of course I want them to be full people, but I would love to see it more as well.
I will acknowledge, for full disclosure, as much as I really enjoy his personality and generally he's been a very reliable pitcher for the Blue Jays, he in fact was the one that was responsible for that hit that we saw in the last inning. The triple that scored two runs.
Oh, to hell with that guy then.
That Pilar was not able to
grab. Shut up about your stupid Bob Ross and throw
now,
pitching better.
Wouldn't you say now it's neutral though, Keith? If you'd known that before, wouldn't you say that you have a neutral opinion
of
him?
A neutral color.
Keith, and I know you didn't see that play. I'm going to reaffirm that they did manage to get that that run come in on a wild pitch. Thankfully, the game is tied. But with two outs and runners on second and third, there's a long fly ball to right field, almost out of the reach of the right fielder. And he grabbed it, unfortunately. It's an inning-ending play. We're back to 6-6 with three innings left to go. And anything could happen. Anything could happen. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Jeff Bryant. This is Now We're Talking alongside Keith Kennedy. We're here every Sunday from 6 to 7. We invite you to come back and listen. I mean, tonight you might be watching the game and you're not needing us to comment on it. You might be watching the debate. You might be doing other things. You might not believe in radio as a concept, but you will if there's an earthquake. You should get a wind-up radio right now so that you can be prepared in the event of an earthquake and so that you can listen to us when you're on the go.
Yeah, when the apocalypse comes, you're going to want to tune in on Sunday nights at 6.
You'll think, I remember when I accidentally listened to that show and he suggests I listen to that show.
Yep.
Keith, what else? We've got another minute or two. Is there anything else you want to reflect on here? I mean, you know what we should do? We talked about a lot. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, we don't generally talk about sports. We don't generally talk about politics, certainly. And today we felt the need, I felt the need in particular, to address these things. We found kind of a thematic connection, but what do you make of the conversation we had earlier?
I don't know. I assume that, like you said, a lot of people who are interested in the baseball game are watching it and or watching the debate. So we might have been preaching to a whole lot of people who didn't give a crap about what we were talking about. But it's something.
Well,
in
which case we weren't preaching for very long because they would have moved on to
that's
something
true.
Else. So there's always that.
There's something about talking about what's on your mind, right? I mean, this is a talk show. We're the people on it.
But in addition to how we feel about the fact that we talked about it, what about the things we actually discussed?
Well, I think,
is racism the reason for a possible Trump presidency? Go. This is like the McLaughlin group. Yes
Go.
Or no?
No.
No. Will Trump be president?
No.
Okay.
That's it?
I don't know.
Give me another one.
Will the Blue Jays win this game?
Yes.
And will they win the series?
Yes.
Now, is it going to come down to either the Blue Jays win the World Series or Donald Trump is not the president? And will we have to choose between those things?
Yes.
And which are you going to choose? Which would you choose between a Trump presidency and the Blue Jays losing in a heartbreaking fashion, losing the World Series.
I will choose the Blue Jays losing in heartbreaking fashion because I don't trust that weird tang-covered orangutan thing.
Well, that's fair. Folks, you've been listening to Now We're Talking. I'm Jeff Bryant, your host, and we'll see you next week.